You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A 64-page San Francisco lawsuit has been filed against 10 companies producing highly processed food. The lawsuit targets Kraft Heinz Company, Post Holdings, the Coca-Cola Company, PepsiCo, General Mills, Nestle USA, Kellogg, Mars Incorporated, and others, accusing these companies of using harmful practices such as making these products addictive in nature. I spoke to Boyd Swinburne, a professor of population nutrition and global health at the University of Auckland and co-chair of Health Coalition Aotearoa, about San Francisco's lawsuit and what we could see as a result here in New Zealand. To start, who are some of these companies and what sort of food products are we seeing in this lawsuit?
Well, these are some of the 10 biggest corporations like Coca-Cola, Nestle, Heinz and so on, who produce ultra-processed foods. So these are the foods put together in factories full of additives like sugar, fat and salt, and full of added ingredients, colorings, flavorings, emulsifiers and so on. It's all what you find in the center of the supermarket. And those are the corporations that San Francisco is suing.
And stepping back a little bit, what impact does highly processed food have on us when we consume highly processed food?
Well, it's a bit of a mixture of products, as you might imagine, just thinking about the centre of the supermarket. But a recent report that came out a couple of weeks ago from Lancet showed that it is related, the high intake of ultra-processed food is related to the incidence of problems like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, mental health, cancer, and total mortality. So a wide range of diseases are linked to a high intake of ultra-processed foods.
Are these products adequately portraying, I guess, how processed they are and maybe what sort of impacts they can have on people?
The reason that the San Francisco city is taking these corporations to court is because they are knowingly making products which are harmful. We've known about the harm and the impacts for a long time. They try to hide the truth. They will fight against any public health policies. They make a large profit, and San Francisco wants them to be brought to account and help to pay for some of the consequences that they create.
Have we seen something similar in nature beforehand in the US and maybe overseas?
Well, absolutely. And San Francisco has a strong track record of taking tobacco industry, the lead paint industry and opioid manufacturers to account, taking them to court and winning. And so they will not be taking this case on lightly. They know how to do it. And I think it's going to be the first of multiple cases in the US where they hold these ultra-processed food corporations to account.
You mentioned tobacco and lead-based paint there. This lawsuit puts processed food in the same category as these, as well as other harmful substances, as a sort of comparison for the addictive nature of how addicting these products can be. Is this, I guess, an adequate representation on how addictive highly processed food is?
Well, some of it's addictive. Obviously, tobacco is addictive, but lead paint isn't. So it's just the nature of the harm of the product, whether or not they're addictive, and shifting the burden and the blame, I guess, onto those manufacturers who are making high profits out of harmful products. So I think that this is changing the balance, it's changing the narrative by putting ultra-processed foods in the same bucket as those known harm products. I think does change the mindset. It sort of says, hey, we need to pay attention to this. These are the products that are creating the biggest impact on death and disease in New Zealand. We need to do something about it in this country.
And speaking more to New Zealand and, I guess, how we consume highly processed food, is there any sort of specific differences with processed food in the US compared to highly processed food here in New Zealand?
One of the big problems we have in New Zealand is we don't know what our consumption of ultra-processed food is. It's incredible. Well, we haven't had a nutrition survey since 2007 in adults and since 2002 in children. So our biggest cause of death and disease we don't actually measure, which is a disgrace. But however, compared to probably Australians and Canadians and so on, my estimate is that our ultra-processed food consumption is probably over 50% of our diet, probably a bit higher in young people, and that is a major concern. So I think we need to start measuring what these problems are and start acting on them with policies.
And have we seen a more or recent pushes to update those statistics that you just mentioned? I mean, you mentioned it was in, back in 2007 for adults in 2002, right? Have we seen more recent pushes to see how it's impacting New Zealanders?
Well, the Ministry of Health has done all the basic work for a proper nutrition survey, but it just has not been approved as a budget item, and so it just gets delayed and delayed. But we have had small studies around in New Zealand, and also, as I said, comparing it with Australia. My guess is that it's around 50%. Even for under fives, if we go by Australians, they're probably consuming about 45% of their diet as ultra-processed foods. So this has taken over, if you like, our real food system, as it has in most countries. And it's this kind of colonisation and taking over of our real food system that has meant it's so dominant in our diet, and therefore we get all these diseases and problems downstream from a high consumption.
Why is it so dominant in terms of what food we decide to eat, I guess?
Well, it is highly prominent, and it's not so much what we decide to eat. Yes, there is consumer choice involved in all of this, but if you look around the world, it's this sort of domination of the ultra-processed food system. You know, that what are the foods that are highly manufactured to give us hyper-palatability, you know, where they taste so palatable and so addictive, if you like. Just think of Coca-Cola and Pringles as examples. They are heavily marketed, including to children. They are present everywhere. They're what's on special. They're at the front of the aisle in the supermarkets. So they're absolutely kind of imposed upon us. And we like them. We like their taste. We like the long shelf life and so on. And so we've just ended up in this situation where our consumption is really high. But also these companies have predated upon those people who are more vulnerable, people who are really struggling with income, children and so on. And those are the ones more vulnerable, and those are the ones they target the most. You just need to go to a low-income suburb, a more disadvantaged suburb, and you'll see it's absolutely chock-a-block full of fast food outlets. And you go to a wealthy suburb, and there are very few there. So they definitely target those people who are most at risk and most vulnerable.
Could the San Francisco lawsuit have a large impact on companies here?
Yeah, I think so. It's not going to happen overnight, because these companies will fight it tooth and nail. But it will, and as I said before, I think it changes the mindset. How do we think about this food? It's not just regular food. In fact, people call it sort of edible food-like substances. You know, it's changing our perception about the level of danger and harm from a high consumption of these products. Not to say that a small consumption is a problem, but if this is a large proportion of your diet, then you're at risk of all of those health complications.
What about consumers? Do you think this lawsuit will garner a lot of public discourse here in New Zealand?
Well, I hope so. I hope that it lifts the game. I mean, in New Zealand, we've had very little action whatsoever on food policies, on improving the food environment to make healthy choices, healthy foods easier and cheaper and so on. And so Health Coalition Aotearoa, which I co-chair, is calling for multiple policies like we've seen in Latin American countries to be implemented. So these are front of pack warning labels, they're bans on advertising and marketing to kids, they are taxes on sugary drinks and unhealthy foods, and they are getting junk food out of schools, getting ultra-processed foods out of schools. So those are the four planks. If you implement all of those, as they are in many countries in Latin America and some countries in Europe, then I think we've got a much better chance of pegging back the problems, especially the obesity and diabetes problems.
You kind of touched a little bit on my last question here, but if San Francisco were to win this case, what are you hoping comes out of this lawsuit? What is the end goal here?
The end goal is the reduction in consumption of ultra-processed foods and better health. That's what we're aiming for. When we look at the proportion of contribution of these foods to our ill health, it's probably contributing about 15% of our avoidable disabilities and diseases and premature deaths. That's compared to smoking, which is about 9%. So it is a big contributor. And so the end goal is to improve health, to give people more choices of healthy foods, and to we do that by reducing consumption. But we won't reduce consumption just by telling people. We need to influence the food environment to make it much easier to get healthy food and more difficult or not as heavily promoted the unhealthy food.
That was the University of Auckland and Health Coalition Aotearoa's Boyd Swinburne on San Francisco's lawsuit against companies producing highly processed food and what, if anything, we could see as a result here in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.